About two lessons ago, we started to talk about getting ready for the spectacular of God, the best experience of our lives. And we started to talk about the things that we needed to do to prepare ourselves to be ready to enjoy things from the Lord that like we've never experienced before. And we've titled this Spectacular or Get Ready. Our base scripture was out of Psalm 126. And I just want to say before I read a couple of verses from there again tonight, to encourage your heart, nothing is too big for the Lord. Nothing is too high. There is no dream that is so high that the Lord can't fulfill. There is no desire that is so big that the Lord can't bring to pass, as long as it is in line with His will, for us. So I want to encourage you wherever you are tonight. I know that this is part of what this particular message teachings have done for me as a person, and I think for many others who have shared their blessings with me personally. I've been so strongly reminded there is nothing too high, nothing too big. There is nothing so high and lofty that the Lord cannot do. If it's a dream in your heart, if it's a desire that the Lord gave you, he's well able. He's well able. And the evidence of that is what Psalm 126 tells us, where he says, when the Lord turned again the captivity of Zion, we were like them that dream. Then was our mouth filled with laughter and our tongue with singing. Then said they among the heathen, the Lord has done great things for them. The Lord has done great things for us, whereof we're glad. In the God's Word translation, he actually says the Lord has done spectacular things for them. And the evidence of that is when it says your mouth become filled with laughter. Is you are overwhelmed with joy, overwhelmed with the goodness of the Lord, that sometimes you can't even contain yourself, you can't put it into words. And I know that the Lord has such blessings for every one of his people this year, not long from now. I believe that it's not coincidence that the Lord is leading us along these lines to study these things. So I needed to say that to you just up front. Nothing is too high. Nothing is too difficult. Nothing is too... Sometimes people say, oh, but that dream is too far-fetched. How can I even imagine God doing that? Well, you might not be able to imagine it, but if it's a dream God puts in your heart, then God takes delight and he takes pleasure in fulfilling that dream and in fulfilling that desire. These aspects or these things that we call God's amazing work, God's best work, involves us enjoying the spectacular workings of God. Also involves us enjoying the unconventional, seeing the unconventional workings of God. Like, you know, spectacular means, you know, it's like, wow, it's like I've been saying, you go ha, 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 like you can't wrap your mind around it. Unconventional, though, means that he does it in ways that only he could have done that, in ways that may even sometimes defy logic, defy natural sequence of events. That God, we saw that in one of those scriptures we read two lessons ago in 2 Kings chapter 7, when the Lord said, by this time tomorrow I'm going to do this. And it just defied every kind of logic that everyone who was listening to that prophet was thinking. And yet the Lord did it. So that's unconventional. And then there's the third part, which is suddenly of God. You remember we read in Amos 9:13, where in the Message translation, where he tells us God is going to bless us. There's going to be, everywhere we look, there's going to be blessings. There's going to be one blessing on the heel of another. And he will bless us so much our heads will swim. that's amazing. He's going to do it in such a way that it'd be too good to be true. And those are some of the descriptions of the ways in which the Lord would want to manifest his work and manifest his glory and his blessings in our lives as we go along on this journey. So I want you to, I'm saying that as a foundation again to remind you to spare expectation. I don't want you to limit God in your mind. Don't limit God in your thinking. Don't look at anything like, oh, that's too big, that's too much, that's too far-fetched. No, it's not. It's not. If you are walking with the Lord, anything is possible for you as a child of God. Don't listen to the naysayers that say, oh, no, nobody's ever experienced that, or that has never happened. It doesn't matter. You can be the first. It can happen to you first. I mean, that's how records are made. You know, if the thing didn't exist before, suddenly now existed, then people say there's a new record. Uh-huh. So new records are not yet done being made. You can be God's next record for the earth. You can be his next spectacle, his next sensational display, his next miraculous showing out and showing forth that he wants to present to the world. So we've already gone through what are the keys for that. Two things we've identified. The first one we said was to give God the best seeds of your life, your passion, your energy, your talent, your time, your money, your material resources. Give God the best seeds of your life. If you want God's best, you've got to be willing. Don't say, well, if God gives me his best, then I will give him my best. It doesn't work like that. We give him our best first. You see, even in that scripture, in Psalm 126, you see where it says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his harvest with him. So you see, the tears of giving your precious seed comes first. Giving God the best of your life. Now, you've got to be honest with yourself. Each of us have to be honest with ourselves. Certainly, that's one of my requirements for prayer. Generally, I don't pray blindly. I don't pray. I try to be as clear, because faith is so valuable. I don't use my faith anyhow. I like results for everything I put my faith out for, because life is too significant. Somebody's health, somebody's survival, somebody's deliverance, somebody's salvation, redemption, somebody being delivered from an accident, somebody being delivered from a health attack that could have taken their life. All of these things are lean. They rest on our faith, on the right use of our faith. So I like to have that deep clarity in the use of my faith. Certainly, one of the areas where if you say you want God's best, you've got to be honest with yourself and answer that question and say, am I giving God my best? And that's not a question some pastor or some prophet needs to answer for any of us. That's a question each of us needs to answer ourselves. You need to be able to say honestly, confidently from your heart, are you giving God your best? Are you giving your best passion? Are you giving him your best energies? Are you giving him your best talents? Are you giving him your best time? Are you giving him your best money? Are you giving him your best material resources? Are you giving him the best of everything in your life? Because that's a prerequisite. You can't with one part of your mouth be saying, oh, I'm expecting God's best. Woo-hoo! And everybody's shouting about it. They're excited about it. And you are also excited about it. But then, when it comes to the things of God, you're full of excuses. That's when every excuse comes to light, you know. And I'm not saying that to make anybody feel bad. You know, one of the very good things with this radio program, excuse me, I call it radio, online program. Yeah, maybe it would eventually become a radio program. One of the best things about it is we can't see one another. I don't know who is online, who is not. Well, some people have records of that, but I don't ever pay attention to stuff like that. Those who need to pay attention to it, we've given them that assignment, let them do it. But I don't know who is, who's dealing with what. I'm not saying anything to knock anyone. I don't even know what your circumstances are. But this is very, very important. I can be very honest and down to earth with you. If you say you want God's best in your life, you have to be able to say you are giving God your best. Remember, it was even one of the major tests that the Old Testament recorded in Abraham's life. Abraham had enjoyed a number of good things from the Lord, good things, good blessings. And the Lord had given him instructions. He had followed. He do this. He did that. And all great. And then it came a time when the Lord thought, okay, I want to do spectacular in Abraham's life. I want to do some things that will blow people's mind, will blow his own mind. You know, I want to give him my utmost best. And guess what? The Lord came up with a plan. And the plan he devised was, well, in order for me to see Abraham as qualified to receive my utmost best, I'm going to ask him for his own utmost best. What was Abraham's best at that time of his life was his son. He had waited so many years for this boy. And when it seemed like this miracle will never happen. But finally it did. The Lord came through and Isaac, the child of promise, came forth. And he nurtured him. Abraham and Sarah nurtured their son. You know, they even had this son of the bondwoman, son of Hagar in the house, Ishmael, who they eventually drove out of the house, make room for their son. You know, they gave that boy everything. He was there. He was more precious than the apple of their eyes. They gave him everything. He was their best. They nurtured him every way they knew how to. And God knew how precious that boy was to them. And so then finally the Lord said, okay, Abraham, here we go. I'm going to need you to do something. And I'm going to even tell him the full story. Of course. You know the story. Let's not go over it for time's sake. But just to underscore this very important point. Many times, a lot of believers are going, well, I want that. I want God's best. Yes, I want that spectacular. I want amazing. But daily, day after day, we're disqualifying ourselves from that. And how are we disqualifying ourselves? Because day after day, we're holding back from releasing our best to the Lord. And sometimes we're actually somewhere in our minds, in our subconscious, we're thinking the thought we have is like, well, if the Lord proves it, and if the Lord gives me his best, then that will give me the confidence I need to give him my own best too. But he doesn't work like that. You read the Bible, he doesn't work like that. I've read with you and I've read to you Psalm 126, and I've just given you another scripture. Abraham's story, and in the New Testament is actually full of this. If you want God's best, you have to be willing to give God your best. Now, Abraham was a very wealthy man. He was a very wealthy man, but God didn't ask for his wealth. God didn't ask for money. In fact, when God said, "I want you to go to this mountain, I'm going to show you, and you are going to sacrifice, and all of that, and you are going to sacrifice your son." Your only son to me. Well, his servants who were following him, in their minds they have thought, well, this our master is such a rich man. Maybe he already has a lot of animals, cattle and sheep somewhere where we're going. He'll just, when we get there, he's already arranged for those animals to be made available, and then he'll sacrifice them when they get there. You know, but Abraham in his heart had heard the Lord. He didn't know how he was going to do it. He didn't know all the details of how it was going to happen, but he said, okay, he's not asking me for money. I mean, if God asked me for all my money, I'm sure he's thinking to himself, I'll happily give him everything I have, because I know it came from him to start with. If the Lord had asked for his, you know, his household, if he had asked for different things, his property, his all of that, I'm sure Abraham would have been happy to give God whatever he asked for. But the Lord knows, he knows, and we know the best things of our lives. A lot of times, even when we're saying something different, we know in our heart what is the best thing of our life, the things that we have hidden, the things that are so precious to us that we like, we're like, oh no, don't touch that. Do not touch that. And that's what Isaac was for Abraham. And that's exactly what the Lord asked for. So the first key to enjoying the best of God is that we must be willing to give him our best, our passion, our energy, our talent, our time, money, material resources, and all of that. The second thing that qualifies us to enjoy the spectacular, the amazing, the best of God in our lives is that we must learn to believe God and to expect him to do what he has promised. We must learn to believe God and expect him to do what he has promised. Expectation is a key to experiencing the best of God. Expectation is a key, is a very strong key to experiencing the best of God. Our key scripture last time we were together was from Proverbs chapter 23. And verse 18 in the King James, it says, "For surely there is an end, and your expectation shall not be cut off." And in the Amplified, it says, "For surely there is a latter end, a future and a reward, and your hope and your expectation shall not be cut off." So the key to experiencing God's best, one of the most important keys to experiencing God's best, is the key of expectation. Whatever you expect, that's what you are going to get. Whatever you expect good, good is going to come to you. If you expect negative, negative is going to come to you. Now, that is at a certain level, at a certain level of existence. But the higher we go, then there is a certain degree of definition that is even added to that. It's no longer at that generic level of, oh, if you expect good, you get good. If you expect bad, you get bad. No, it takes a deeper definition than that. That is, your expectation almost becomes what it almost becomes the bridge to you arriving at your promised land. Your expectation almost becomes what qualifies you or disqualifies you. And the fine description of your expectation, the basis of it, the strength of it, where it came from, how strong it is, and how you hold on to it, and how you build it, and how you nurture it at that level that is just beyond that general level where most people, most regular people operate from, that degree of your expectation. So at that level, it's just no longer, oh, if you expect good, good comes to you. If you expect bad, bad comes. No, it's a greater definition, a greater degree of expectation, where it affects the fine things of our lives, the fine details of our lives. We're not just talking good and bad. We're talking even degrees and categories of good. Hallelujah. Because, you know, good is great. But there's good, there's better, there's best. So yeah, at some point, yeah, if you expect good, good comes. But at some point in our lives, we don't just want good. We want better than good, better than what we have already experienced. And then at some point in our lives, we actually want the best. You're no longer satisfied with just having good. And someone says, "Oh, Pastor, I think good is good enough for me. If I have good, that's fine. Let God just give me good." Well, he'll give you good. He'll give you good. But at some point, trust me, you are going to want more than just good. You're going to want more than just good. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. I said, glory be to God. You want the best of God in your life. And one of the things that qualifies us for that is our expectation. What is expectation? Expectation is to look earnestly towards God, to look earnestly towards God. That is your expectation. You are looking at him, and you are looking towards him, and your focus, your gaze, and your desire, and everything is from him. is to look earnestly towards God. As I'm not looking at people, I'm not looking at what someone promised, I'm not looking at what the economy is forecasting, I'm not looking at what the government is doing, I'm not looking at what Saul losers are saying, I'm not looking at haters, I'm not looking at cheerleaders. No, I'm looking solely at the Lord. I'm looking solely at the Lord. That's expectation. The second part of expectation is to look earnestly and confidently for what was promised. To look earnestly and confidently for what was promised. The first part of expectation is to look to the Lord. The Lord is the source of our expectation. Is to look to the Lord. Is our focus is on Him. So we zero in. We have this laser focus on the Lord. Because our hope is in Him. Our expectation is in Him. The second part of having expectation in God is to look for what has been promised us. Praise the Lord. These are so powerful. Now, I did say last week, one of the things I said last week, this is very important because I remember I was outdoors somewhere and the Lord put that in my spirit and I stopped in my track and I had to ruminate on it for a few minutes. It really did something to me because I hadn't quite thought about it before. But the Lord said the favor of God assures us that the reward is not supposed to be commensurate with the effort. The favor of God. So this is part of what expectation does in our lives. The favor of God on the life of a child of God sees to it that the reward that God gives us is not commensurate with the effort. People in the world have to work for everything they get, or they have to steal it, or they have to depend on luck, which people call good fortune. Well, so what happens if you're unlucky? Then that means you're in trouble. So people in the world is like comsa. It's like, well, trial and error. You may not. But that's not the plan of God for the believer, for the child of God. Remember in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, which we also read last week, he says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you. They are thoughts of good, not of evil, to give you an expected end. And I remember we were talking about what is this expected end? That's the end that you, the child of God, expect. Now, that end is, and in one scripture it says to give you a hope and a future. That is not based strictly on what you do. Like sometimes, for instance, if you work a 9-to-5 job, you already have what your salary is. You have what your, whether you're paid bi-weekly, you're paid monthly, or you're paid weekly, you already know what your salary is for that week or for that 2-week period or for that 1-month period. Because it's commensurate to your effort. You are paid that for what you did. That's how the world operates. But as a child of God, as a child of God's covenant, your reward is not commensurate with your effort or your seed. God is a God of multiplication. And sometimes we don't necessarily fully understand how He multiplies. Sometimes we try to put it in ways that we totally understand. Like people will say, well, if you give $100, God can give you $1,000, or God can give you $200. He's not a money doubler. He's just a blesser. He's a good father. He's a father with a great heart for his children. And so God, yes, can choose to give you $1,000 when you sow the seed to bless someone or to help the poor or to support the kingdom of God or whatever. God can come around and bless you and bless you in those terms. But I'm telling you, there is sometimes a limit to actually how much we can understand or how we can measure the reward or the harvest that comes from God for the seeds that we sow. I know I remember I've said this several times on the pulpits and different pulpits and Abundant Life or different places that I've ministered. Remember several years ago, I was in the ministers' conference in Dallas, and I'd gone there for that conference. So I'm talking several years ago. I had to scrape and scratch everything that I could get to that conference. We didn't have the resources, but I knew I was supposed to be in that minister's conference. So somehow or the other, I found a way, scraped and scratched everything. And when it was all said and done, the car rental I had, the hotel, all of that was paid for. I think I was left with a $20 bill. This was a three-day conference. And that's all I was left with as cash, was a $20 bill. And I'll never forget that, what happened in the service, one of the services in the afternoon, that the minister was really ministering powerfully. Just the Holy Spirit was moving. And I'm sure you've seen stuff like this. I don't think every time this happens is initiated by God. But I also would be very careful to say, there are a lot of times when things like this happen and it is actually initiated by God. So don't, because something looks weird or something looks like crazy or it looks strange, doesn't necessarily mean it is ungodly. Doesn't necessarily mean it's people initiated. Sometimes the Holy Spirit moves and, things kind of go in ways that no human being planned. This was one of such situations. I know there are many times when human beings use their minds and they try to create drama just to try to show that God is moving. No matter how much drama we create, I'm trying to show that God is moving. If God is not moving, He's not moving. If He's there, He's there. If He's not there, He's not there. Forget it. But this was one of those situations where He was moving so strong. And the preacher was preaching and the anointing of God was so strong. And suddenly people started to get out of their seats to go to the altar. To drop their seed. Nobody asked them. There was just this move. And I was so moved in my seat, in my spirit. I was so taught, so deeply moved. And this was not emotional. This was not emotional at all. I knew deep down in my spirit that this was a God thing. And I looked at all these people going out and I thought, wow, man, these guys have I'm sure they have all the money. I mean, all I have in my wallet is $20. I mean, I can't even break it. I can't ask someone break it up into two $10 bills for me so I can go give one of the bills and hold on to the $10 or something. I couldn't do that. So I thought, wow, if I'm going to get up and go and give like I'm being prompted in my spirit to do, that means I'm going to give everything I have. And I'm several hundred miles away from home, and I've spent everything I have, and I know this was a battle going on there. But suddenly I decided, okay, I'm going to go for this, and I'm going to go give God. I'm going to give God what's in my wallet. And I mean, nobody's asking me for it. Nobody's telling me. There's no pressure. I'm just sensing this thing in my spirit. I'm supposed to go do this. All right. So, and I'm sure the Lord wanted to kind of teach me something. Sometimes the Lord does stuff like that to teach us stuff. So I got up finally, and with faith, I went and dropped that seed and walked back to my seat, and we continued the service. And at the end of it, it was all good, praise God. And of course, the reality of what I had in my wallet and what I did not have kept staring me, kept coming into my mind. Boy, you don't have anything. Boy, you don't have any money. If anything happens, you are in trouble. Who are you going to ask for money? Who are you? But all of that, I trusted the Lord. And as we the session in the afternoon finished, and we were all getting ready to dismiss, there was this older Caucasian couple seated right next to me. And as I got up, I was going to head to my rental car in the parking lot, and they took my hand. I think it was the man, I'm not sure if it was the man or the woman, who took my hand and squeezed something into it. They squeezed something into it. I thought, oh, that feels like money. Why are they giving me money? I didn't ask them for money. But I thought, well, praise God, I gave my $20. Maybe the Lord is just trying to bless me back here. So of course I didn't look at it. I squeezed my hand, pushed it into my pocket, walked all the way to the parking lot and got in my car. And finally, I looked around, made sure there was nobody looking at me. And then I pulled the thing out of my pocket. And lo and behold, it was $100 bill. $100 bill. This was way back then. I don't even know how many $100 bills I had ever seen in my life or touched. Way back then, and this couple put $100 bill in my hands. Now, why am I sharing that? I'm saying sometimes You know, you can't even quantify. You can't measure the harvest that God brings into your life. Now, right there and then, someone can build a doctrine out of what happened to me. And they can say, oh, look, the Lord gave this brother, gave him $100 after he gave 20. And they can make a new doctrine out of that, like theology, like, well, depending on what's going on, if you know, you give God $20, he will give you 100. Someone can stand on the pulpit and say, everybody who wants a $100 bill, bring a 20. And then, you know, and the truth of the matter is, the Lord did that, but that was not the end of his blessing for that $20 seed that day. I mean, beyond that day, beyond that service, beyond that trip, beyond that season, I mean, the blessings of God just continue to flow in our lives. So I think it's very, very important that we keep in mind. Sometimes when we talk about our expectation, we almost feel like, oh, well, what I expect? No, God can bless us way beyond our wildest dreams, way beyond our wildest imagination. Now, the Bible says he would bless us and he would give us the end that we expect. And I just said earlier on that his reward is not commensurate with our seed or our effort. And that is very important, is that the rewards of God in our lives, the blessings of God in our lives, will by far supersede the seeds that we give, the efforts that we make. God is a multiplier. God is this God of grace. He's a God of abundant grace. He's a God of harvest. He's a God of exceeding abundance. That the little will do. Something you had just a good word of encouragement for someone who you thought was going through a difficulty, and God can bless you so much because of that little good that you did. He can bless you so much that your entire life is totally different as a result of the blessing of God. So it is so important that we have expectation in God. It is so very important that we have expectation in God. Now, I have a few things here I want to say. I thought I was actually going to close out this part of my teaching tonight. I don't think I will finish this. But there's something I want to show you. I want to remind you. Many of you probably already know this. And I sense like a prompting of the Holy Spirit to say part of this. Expectation is the same thing as hope. I hope you're aware of that. Expectation is just great hope. It's aggressive hope. It's dynamic hope. And, you know, there are times we can go through situations in life and we can lose hope. Life can feel hopeless. There might be certain dreams that we've had or certain things that we've desired in our lives where we get to certain points and we just feel like, no, never, ever, it's never going to happen. It's a hopeless dream. It's a hopeless situation. Just forget it. I don't even want to think about it. Or, you know, there might have been some crisis that led to that, where we come to a point and we feel like it's over, forget it. As I was getting ready for the service this evening, the Holy Spirit prompted that very strongly and quickened that word in my spirit to encourage someone who might be online with us tonight, who might be listening to this teaching, or someone who might be listening to it afterwards. Don't give up hope. Don't give up hope. Don't quit on God. I know and I understand that sometimes it feels like hope is dead. But I guarantee you, even when it feels like hope is dead or expectation is lifeless, if you subject your heart to the word of God, like we're doing tonight, and if you just open your heart a little bit and allow the word of God that you're listening to go in there unhindered, if you will not build a fence around your heart where you stop it, you stop the word of God from flowing in, if you would open your heart, hope can come alive for different areas of your life, different aspect of your dream that you may have given up on. Actually, I believe that the Lord is doing that supernatural work tonight. That I'm speaking to you. You're hearing the word of God through this line, this radio line. The word of God is stirring hope. The word of God is creating a fresh expectation. The word of God is doing something new in certain areas of your life where you had given up hope and expectation, where you had given up your dreams, where you had come to a place where you finally believe, forget it, that's never going to happen, it's over, I don't think we're ever going to get through that part of it. The Lord himself is doing a work in your heart tonight, and if you will let that work happen through the word of God, hope will come alive. And because hope comes alive, your expectation will be revived. And because your expectation is revived, your dreams will become fulfilled. No matter how difficult, no matter how impossible those dreams seem, the Lord will revive every aspect of your expectation. I love that scripture in Job. I love the scripture in Job chapter 14 and verse 7, where it says, "For there is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, that it will sprout again, and that the tender branch thereof will not cease." I love it. There is hope for a tree. If it is cut down, it will sprout again, and the tender branch thereof will not cease. Look at verse 8. It says, although the root thereof wax old. So the root of the tree is waxed old in the ground, and the stalk thereof die in the ground. He says, yet through the scent of water, it will bud and it will bring forth boughs like a plant. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Even though the tree is dead, even though the root of the tree is dead in the ground, even though there's everything about that tree seems lifeless and there's no green, that there's no hope whatsoever for that tree to live or for that tree to do well. The Bible says, at the scent of water. Well, what is that water? The water is the word of God. There is a scent of water in our service tonight. There is a scent of water through this teaching in the word of God that we're receiving. And through this scent of water, things can come back to life for you. Hope can be rebirthed. Expectation can be revived. Your dreams can come alive again and become fulfilled. The future that God planned for you, which seemed too good to be true way back then, the spectacular things, the amazing, unconventional, the super amazing things that the Lord had ordained for your life, which at some point you started to give up on, thinking, no, that's forget it, that's a foregone conclusion. Well, those things are coming back to life tonight, if you will let them. They're coming back to life tonight. And God will do amazing in your life. God will do spectacular things in your life in the name of Jesus. The Lord will visit you suddenly. The Lord will walk in an unconventional way in your life, in a way like you've never experienced him before. And everybody around you, including yourself, will go, I didn't know that was possible. And the Lord will do it. And you will experience it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Can you say amen? Amen. Glory be to God. Glory be to God. All right. Now, I have one or two things that are very important that I want to address in the last few minutes that I have. I want to talk about, first, I've just alluded to it, but I want to give it to you as a lesson point, as a bullet point. How do we build our expectation? Where does expectation come from? Where does expectation come from? How do we even get expectation? If expectation is a key to enjoying God's best, I mean, do we just wake up one morning and then suddenly we have expectation? No, you and I know that doesn't happen. Even when we try many times, that's why sometimes I just said a few minutes ago, sometimes we lose hope. Hope seems dead in the ground. Because of our experiences, because of things we've been through and stuff like that. So how does expectation come? We just read in Job where it says at the scent of water, and we know that water is the word of God. Well, the The way to build expectation is to build expectation in the Word of God. Build expectation on the Word of God. So let me explain this clearly. I'm trying to explain this a little bit to you. Your expectation must be built on the Word of God. You can't just have expectation arbitrarily based on nothing. You can't. This is one of the most frustrating, most disappointing things that believers deal with a lot of times. Sometimes we just have expectation based on nothing. Sometimes it's just based on feel good. We saw something on TV, we heard somebody's testimony, we heard something in church while the preacher was preaching, we read something in a book, and suddenly we just have this feel good expectation. Yeah. That's going to happen to me too. It happened to that person. God, it's going to happen to me too. But there's nothing wrong with being encouraged to have expectation. That's actually a good thing. But I just want you to know, expectation that produces reward, when it says in Proverbs 23 that we read earlier, verse 18 in the Amplified, that your expectation will have a reward and it will produce a future. That expectation has got to be built on the Word of God. You can't just build expectation based on, oh, I used to have this dream when I was a child. I'm going to be an astronaut. How many children who said they were going to be astronauts never became astronauts? That's good. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't get me wrong. That's good. It's good to have a dream as a child. It's good to dream of a future. Good to dream of things that you want to be or what you want to have. And that's good. That's all good. God actually arranges in our lives in such a way, both based on our nature and our nurture, that is based on our environment and based on our genetics. A lot of times God actually positions us in such a way, there are certain dreams that come into our lives that become a part of our future. That's definitely true, for sure. That's true. But what I'm saying to you, though, is you can't just build expectation based on, oh, I always wanted to do this as a child, because that expectation is not guaranteed to produce that future. The only expectations that are guaranteed to produce the future we expect or the future we're looking forward to are expectations that are built on the Word of God. Somebody say amen to that. Now, I want you to look at Psalm 62 and verse 5. Look at Psalm 62 and verse 5. This is David. I believe it is David. He said, it's the Psalm of David. Psalm 62 verse 5. Look at what it says. It says, my soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Look at that. My soul, you wait upon God because my expectation is from him. What is David saying? David is saying, my expectation is built on God himself. God is the foundation of my expectation. My expectation isn't just based on feel good. My expectation isn't just based on what I heard somebody say. My expectation isn't just based on this fleeting dream I had when I ate a lot of food and went to bed in the night. My expectation isn't based on what one prophet said to me 15 years ago. Nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that. The Lord can put his words in the mouth of some of his servants, and those words can create expectations. Nothing wrong with that. However, that can't be the foundation of your expectation. By itself, that isn't going to carry you far. What has to be the foundation for the expectation of our lives has got to be the Word of God that is revealed to us, the Word of God that is made available to us, the Word of God that jumps out to us. Sometimes we're reading the Word of God, something jumps out to us, and it just wouldn't leave our minds. It just wouldn't leave. You know, you just wouldn't be able to get rid of that particular scripture, that particular verse. It just stays there and stays there and stays there. And before long, you have a connection with that particular scripture. And sometimes it may not even be a scripture. It may be based on the Word of God you were listening to, based on the Word of God you were reading. some image became created within you, and that image just will not be dispelled. So expectation has got to be built on the Word of God. If your expectation isn't built on the Word of God, forget it. Forget it. Because there's no ground, there's no substance for that expectation. There's no guarantee for that expectation to produce the reward or the harvest that you are looking for. The only way your expectation will produce the harvest and the reward that you are looking for is that that expectation is based solidly on the Word of God. You know what the Word of God says, in what the Bible says in Isaiah 55, verses 10 and 11. It says, so shall my word be. You know, that's where the Lord was speaking. His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. It says that as heaven is higher than the earth and all of that, so his ways are higher than ours and his thoughts are higher than ours. In verse 10, it says, as the rain that comes down from heaven, the snow from heaven, and returns not there, but waters the earth and makes it bud forth, bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I have sent it. So that means expectation has got to be based on the Word of God, because the only thing that is guaranteed to last forever is the Word of God. The only thing that can give life and sustenance to any dream or any expectation is the Word of God. Glory be to God. You know, there are three different ways in the New Testament where the Bible tells us this scripture where it says, you know, heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of his word. He tells us that in Matthew 24, verse 35. He tells us that in Mark chapter 13, verse 31. He tells us that in Luke chapter 21, verse 33. All of those scriptures say heaven and earth will pass away, but not a jot of his word. So that means everything else is fleeting. If your expectation is based on some promise that some human being gave you, it's fleeting. In fact, one, the scripture I'm going to read to you here in Isaiah 40, it talks about man being, all flesh is like grass that withers. That means we cannot base our expectation of good, our expectation of what the Lord has promised, or what the Lord will do, or what we believe our future will be like. We can't make it based on anything that is fleeting, anything that is subject to change. It has to be built solidly on the Word of God. You might know that hymn. I love that hymn very much. It came to my spirit tonight as I was studying. I haven't sung it in a long time, but it came. I know it came from the Lord. So let me remind you. You know that hymn that says, on Christ the solid rock I stand? Look at some of the stanzas. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest stream, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, a number of other verses there, but the one stanza I want to read to you here is the third one, where it says, his oath, his covenant, his blood, support me in the overwhelming flood. When all around my soul gives way, he then is all my hope and stay. Glory to God. His oath, that is what, his sworn oath, that is his word. His covenant, his blood, all of that, they are rooted in his word. They support me in the overwhelming flood. When those things, those floods of life that come to try to blow away my hope in God, that try to blow away the expectation that I have in God for my future, when all of those things come against my soul, it is his word, his oath, his covenant, his blood that keep me grounded. They keep my hope and my expectation in God alive. He says, when all around my soul gives way, everything will give way. Well, whatever it is we have amassed, all those things cannot really be trusted. We can't depend on anything that's available to us on this earth to hold tight. When the circumstances of life radically change around us, those are the things that break the dams around our lives and cause our expectation and our hope to be blown away, to be swept away by the floods of life and floods of turbulence and floods of trouble of life. But when we are strongly rooted, when our expectation is in God, like David said, my expectation is from you alone. So my soul, he said, my soul, you wait on the Lord. You wait on the Lord. You don't wait on those things that are going to pass. Don't wait on those things that are like grass that will wither. You wait on the Lord alone. See, because my expectation is in God only. It's in God alone. Now, I think it's a good place to close. I have two other things. I'm going to pick two other bullet points in this teaching. I want to probably come back to it by God's grace next time. Our next lesson is going to be the last Wednesday, by God's grace, the last Wednesday of April. So when I come back, I'll talk to you about how to keep that expectation alive, and how the Word of God produces that hope and that expectation. And I'll talk about how not to give it up when these floods and when these different circumstances of life come our way. We're talking about getting ready, and we're talking about enjoying the best of God. All right, so I have this last scripture. I want you to read this with me. This is my best and my last scripture tonight. So powerful. It's in Isaiah chapter 40, and I want to read quickly from verse 3 to verse 8. This is so important. This is so powerful. Isaiah chapter 40, I want to read from verse 3 to verse 8. It says, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord." So we know the Lord is the one who fulfills our expectation. It says, "Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Every valley will be exalted." So life is going to change. Every mountain and hill will be made low. Life is going to change. The crooked hills will be made straight, the rough places plain. "And the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it." When the mouth of the Lord speaks your expectation into existence, and your expectation is based on what the mouth of the Lord spoke, then his glory will be revealed in your life, and all eyes will see it. Now everybody's going to go, ah, ah, ah. And even you are going to go, ha, ha, this is marvelous. This is spectacular. That's because his mouth spoke it. And when his mouth spoke it, you built it based on his word. Look at the next verse. The next verse says, "The voice said, cry. And he said, what shall I cry? And he said, all flesh is grass, and all the goodliness thereof is as the flower of the field. The grass will wither, the flower will fade, just like everything else. Money is going to fade, position will fade, promises will fade, human superiority and authority will fade. He says, because the Spirit of the Lord will blow upon it, and surely all the people are like grass. But then he says in verse 8, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the word of our God shall stand forever." Glory be to God. The grass will wither. The flower will fade. But the word of our God will stand forever. So build your expectation in the word of God. Build your expectation in what came out of the breath of his mouth. I hope you received something tonight. I hope you were blessed. I trust God that we'll be able to wrap this up in our next lesson. I pray that the blessing of God remain upon you and your families. And I pray that the month of April, the rest of it continues to be a blessed one for you. And that the rest of this year continues to be a blessed one for you and your family.